Welcome, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the 2025 PG&E CPE Local RA/RFO Participants Webinar. For the duration of today's call, all lines will be on a listen-only mode. Today's call is being recorded. If you do have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the call over to Kyle Neama. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you, Sue. All right. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of the PG&E CPE team, I'd like to thank you all for tuning into the 2025 PG&E Central Procurement Entity Local RA/RFO Participants Webinar. A quick reminder that we are hosting this webinar using a combination of Verizon audio conferencing as well as Microsoft Teams. Please make sure you're dialed in on both channels just to make sure you're getting the complete experience here. All right. We'll kick things off with a brief introduction to PG&E as the CPE for those who could use a refresher. PG&E is issuing the 2025 Local Resource Adequacy Request for Offers and Commitments, also known as RFO, in its function as the central procurement entity, which will be referred to as PG&E CPE throughout this presentation. PG&E CPE is required to procure local capacity to or obtain self-shown commitments for local capacity to meet the three-year forward multi-year local resource adequacy or RA requirement on behalf of all CPC jurisdictional load-serving entities within its electric distribution service area. Throughout this presentation, CPC jurisdictional load-serving entities will be referred to as CPUC LSEs. One important note I'd like to flag is that all procurement conducted by PG&E CPE is distinct from procurement conducted by PG&E for PG&E's bundled electric service customers. Q&A and audio replay. At any point during this presentation, participants should be emailing their questions to the CPE RFO mailbox at cpesolicitations@pge.com. You may have noticed the chat feature has been turned off for this webinar, so please direct your questions to the RFO mailbox instead. Please remember to also copy the independent evaluator at merrimackie@merrimackenergy.com. We'll be leaving some time following the intermission and towards the end of this webinar to answer questions. Please keep in mind we may not be able to address all the questions during the Q&A portion of the webinar, especially just depending on the volume of questions we receive. After the webinar, we'll compile and post a Q&A document on the CPE RFO website at the link shown there on screen. This presentation deck, as well as the audio portion of the webinar and a transcript of this presentation, will be posted on the CPE RFO website. Some quick disclaimers on document conflicts. This presentation is meant to be a summary-level discussion of the information and requirements established in the RFO materials, and it will not cover all of the detailed information in those materials. To the extent that there are any inconsistencies between the information provided in this presentation and the requirements in the RFO materials, the RFO materials shall govern. PG&E CPE strongly encourages participants to carefully review the 2025 CPE Local RA/RFO Solicitation Protocol, which is available on the CPE RFO website. If any participants have questions regarding CPE RFO documents, PG&E CPE asks that you seek clarity by submitting questions to the CPE RFO mailbox prior to submitting a commitment or offer in this year's RFO. As a reminder, please CC the IE on all inquiries submitted to PG&E CPE. One thing I want to note as well, I see a couple hands in the Teams meeting. We will not be fielding live questions on this call. Again, if you have any questions, please send them to the cpesolicitations@pge.com mailbox. All right, objective and agenda. The objective of today's presentation is to provide information to participants who may submit compensated self-shown commitments or competitive offers into the 2025 CPE Local RA/RFO. Important thing to note, all information in this presentation applies only to this year's 2025 CPE Local RA/RFO. recommend actually really quickly now. For people who are just joining, I'm going to go back and really just emphasize, right, that the audio portion of this presentation is done through Verizon conferencing. I'm going to leave this link up here on the screen for a bit. So please dial in to make sure that you're able to hear the audio portion. Bear with us here. We're just making sure that everybody is able to dial into the audio. So appreciate your patience here really quick. Back to objective and agenda, just to recap here. Objective of today's presentation is to provide information to participants who may submit compensated self-term commitments or competitive offers into the 2025 CPE local RA RFO. Important thing to note, once again, is that all information in this presentation applies only to this year's 2025 CPE local RA RFO. Taking a quick look at the agenda here, I'll provide an overview of this year's RFO as well as the agreements. We'll take a quick 10-minute intermission and then come back for Q&A right after. After that, we'll wrap up with an overview of our compensated self-shown attestation and commitment form process, that commitment form submittal. And for those who want to stick around for the appendix section, we will be reviewing how to populate the various competitive offer forms. So a couple new items for 2025. Up first, PG&E CPE has added the option to submit monthly pricing for offers for bundled RA or bundled RA with energy settlement. This applies only to offers with delivery terms of 60 months or fewer. I'll go into this in greater detail when discussing the offer forms later in the presentation. The second change is in accordance with the CPUC's RA-OIR decision on Track 2 issues, which eliminates the non-compensated self-shown commitment process. So we're no longer looking to obtain non-compensated self-shown commitments. I would like to highlight, though, the compensated self-shown commitment process, or LCR-RCM, is still very much available to CPUC LSEs, though. So here's a look at our schedule for the 2025 RFO. We encourage participants to refer to the 2025 CPE RFO solicitation protocol and website for specific deadlines associated with the dates listed here. As I'm sure you're all aware, we launched the 2025 CPE RFO last Thursday on February 20th, which brings us to today's webinar on the 27th. The next milestone is the competitive offer submittal deadlines for PG&E participants and all of the market participants on the March 25th and March 26th, respectively. Participants will be notified of their offers qualification statuses around mid-April. So we're currently targeting an execution deadline for Track A offers on June 27th, and the execution deadline for Track B offers will be sometime in early August. As a refresher, Track A is reserved for offers with RA delivery in the prompt year 2026, while Track 2 covers all other offers. All these deadlines lead up to PG&E CPE's local RA showing with the CPUC in mid-August of 2025. As with previous CPE solicitations, there is an independent evaluator, also known as IE, assigned to this 2025 local RA RFO. The primary role of the IE is to monitor the RFO process to ensure fair and equal treatment of all potential participants, monitor the evaluation process to ensure PG&E CPE has implemented methodology as described, and that self-funded commitments and offers are treated consistently. And lastly here, the IE reports on the RFO process and proposed transactions to the CPUC when they are filed for CPUC approval. The IE may review all self-term commitment and offer data, as well as communications with participants. For this RFO, the IE is going to be Merrimack Energy Group, and that team consists of Wayne Oliver, Keith Oliver, and Mark Smith. Their email address, as previously mentioned, is merrimackie@merrimackenergy.com. Again, please copy the IE on all communications to the CPE RFO mailbox. Now, transitioning to an overview of the 2025 PG&E CPE local RA RFO. So starting off with goals here, PG&E CPE is seeking new and existing local resource capacity that can provide RA in PG&E local areas in order to meet the central procurement obligations required by the CPUC decisions. Those local areas are displayed on the map to the right of the screen there. For 2025, PG&E's CPE is required to procure or obtain self-shown commitments for 100% of the CPUC's 2026 and 2027 local RA requirements in PG&E's distribution service area. For 2028, that obligation dials back to 50% of the CPUC's local RA requirements. To reach these goals, PG&E CPE is seeking to obtain commitments from CPUC LSEs that will self-show their resources to reduce the total local RA need in PG&E's distribution service area, and to procure RA capacity from new and existing resources located in PG&E's local capacity areas to meet the local RA requirements allocated to PG&E CPE by the CPUC. So resource minimum eligibility requirements. All resources must meet the following eligibility requirements to participate in the 2025 RFO. So first off, resources must have a single CAISO resource identification or CAISO resource ID as defined in the CAISO tariff. For aggregated behind-the-meter resources, including demand response, the resource must be in a single sublab as defined in the CAISO tariffs. The resource must also be able to provide RA capacity, and resources must meet the applicable CPUC and CAISO RA requirements that will enable PG&E CPE to receive all of the applicable RA benefits associated with that resource. For existing resources, the resource must be electrically connected in PG&E local capacity areas and remain listed as such per the CAISO's local capacity technical study. Meanwhile, for new resources, they must have a completed CAISO Phase 1 interconnection study report along with a construction schedule that can support the proposed initial delivery date or IDD. One important caveat I want to call out here is that new resources do not need to be electrically connected or have a CAISO resource ID at the time of offer submittal. So here we have a breakdown of the CPE's commitment and procurement processes. Starting from the right-hand side of this graphic, the lighter blue lines and boxes, you'll see that all market participants are eligible to participate in the 2025 CPE RFO through the competitive offer process, submitting an offer for bundled RA or bundled RA with energy settlement. Now, calling your attention to the left side of the graphic, you can see that CPUC LSEs are eligible to submit a compensated self-shown commitment as well as an offer for bundled RA or bundled RA with energy settlement. That compensated self-shown commitment process, or LCR-RCM, is limited exclusively to CPUC LSEs. All right, and then one thing I just want to call out again, for any questions that call attendees might have here, please just email them to cpesolicitations@pge.com, and we'll take a look and hopefully be able to address some of those questions coming in during our designated Q&A session following the intermission. All right, so a competitive offer process and compensated, or related specifically to the compensated self-shown commitment. The eligible counterparties, again, here are CPUC LSEs, and eligible resources include any preferred resource or energy storage resource within the original contract executed on or after June 17, 2020 that meets the minimum eligibility requirements of the CPE RFO. For utility-owned generation, any resource approved by the commission or by an advice letter on or after June 17, 2020 that meets the minimum eligibility requirements of the CPE RFO is eligible for this process. For the shown term, similar to the non-compensated self-shown commitment process that we had in years prior, as well as the compensated self-shown commitment process as well, per the LCRRCM decision, the shown term must be equivalent to the period that the resources are under contract or contracted for that corresponds to the three-year forward local RA compliance period. Again, for the CPE this time around, that's going to be January 2026 through December of 2028. So some specific details from the decisions. Compensation for selected competitive offers for compensated self-shown commitments will be capped at a predetermined local RA premium in each local area based on administrative benchmarks determined by the CPUC. Secondly, CPUC LSEs that are competitively offered as compensated self-shown local RA will retain the system and flexible RA attributes of the resource. And lastly here, for compensated self-shown local RA commitments, both an attestation and a contract are required for compensated self-shown local RA. Now on to the bundled RA competitive process side of things. As mentioned before, all market participants are going to be eligible for this process, including CPUC LSEs. Eligible resources include any new or existing resource that meets the minimum eligibility requirements of the CPE RFO. The delivery term must be greater than or equal to 1 month, and there's no cap on the maximum term. However, for existing resources, PG&E CPE does tend to prefer delivery terms ranging from 1 to 60 months or 5 years. And for new resources, where the seller is the owner of the resource, we may consider a delivery term of 10 or 15 years to help incentivize the development of new local resources. Initial delivery dates for the bundled RA and bundled RA with energy settlement offers are as follows. For existing resources, similar to the self-shown commitment process, the IDD must start within the compliance window of January 2026 through December 2028. For new resources, that IDD window is expanded a little bit. Those resources may start anytime between January 2026 through December of 2030. And then lastly, the details driven again by decisions are that CPUC LSEs will receive credits for the system and flexible capacity that's procured by the CPE based on coincident peak load share. All right, so now we'll spend some time reviewing the PG&E CPE contracts. As a reminder, this agreement overview is summary level. If there's anything in this presentation that conflicts with the agreements shall govern. We encourage you to take a look at the agreements and ask questions. Again, please submit those inquiries to the CPE RFO mailbox, that is CPE solicitations@pge.com. So from a high level, we are offering the 5 contracts that we've offered previously in prior CPE solicitations. Those contracts are the RA agreement for owners of existing resources, RA agreement for owners of new resources, RA agreement for non-owners of existing resources, RA agreement for non-owners of new resources, and lastly, the compensated self-shown commitment agreement. As was allowed in the 2024 CPE RFO, CPUC LSEs will continue to have the option to transact using a PG&E CPE local RA confirm letter, which will be governed by a separate PG&E CPE EEI master agreement. Given the tight timeline we're on to transact, PG&E CPE has a strong preference for standardized agreements. Starting things off with the RA agreements. The RA agreements are available for new and existing resources, and they're available for all market participants, whether they are the resource owner or remarketer. For sellers that are offering to build and own a new dispatchable project, the product will be a percentage of all the capacity attributes that can be derived from the operational characteristics of the project. And that includes the local, system, flex, and any future capacity characteristics that can be derived over the life of the contract. The contract quantity will also be a percentage that's set at execution and fixed for the delivery term. For all other sellers, PG&E CPE is buying a schedule of monthly capacity attributes, again, that's local, system, and flex, that will be fixed for the life of the contract at execution. So delivery terms for the RA agreements, again, we are looking for offers of at least, with delivery terms of at least 1 month. Delivery term is static at the time of execution and does not change due to project delays. Again, while there's no cap on delivery term length, we have a preference of 60 months or less for existing resources and may consider 10 or 15 years for new resources. Looking at compensation, compensation is simply the contracted quantity multiplied by the fixed contract price, which will then get you the monthly payment. An energy settlement option is also available for those who are interested. If a seller offers an energy settlement, the seller owes PG&E CPE the financial equivalent of the resource operating in the wholesale energy market. So basically, PG&E CPE pays for the capacity that is delivered, while PG&E CPE receives the energy settlement amount from sellers. There are various energy settlement options based on the technology type of the offered resources. These are going to be listed in Appendix 15 of the agreements. So the RA agreements include performance requirements. Sellers are expected to deliver at least 80% of capacity attributes over a rolling 12-month period and 85% over a 24-month period. Some additional provisions, PG&E CPE will not be the scheduling coordinator under these agreements. Either the seller or a seller's third party will be acting as the scheduling coordinator and be responsible for CAISO charges and revenues. Additionally, important thing to note is that the seller is obligated to take all actions to enable PG&E CPE to utilize the product. Moving on to the compensated self-shown commitment agreement. So this is going to be applicable to CPUC LSEs with preferred resources or energy storage resources that meet requirements as stated in the LCR RCM decision. Capacity can be committed for compensation while the CPUC LSE retains the resources, system, and flexible RA attributes if applicable. The shown term, again, like the RA agreements, can be static for the life of the contract, and shown terms can begin no earlier than January of 2026 and end no later than December of 2028. In terms of shown quantity, it will be a schedule of monthly values that will be fixed at the time of execution. The shown quantity will be provided by the participant in the applicable self-shown commitment form. Compensation is going to be the contract price times the capacity attributes that are shown to the CAISO. Contract price is capped at the CPUC's predetermined local premium rate, which as of now has not yet been published. Once those CPUC prices are published, we'll be sure to upload them to the CPE RFO website as well as distribute a market notice just updating participants. And again, like with the RA agreements, PG&E CPE will not be the scheduling coordinator for these resources. The seller or project generator owner will need to take on that role, and again, will retain all ISO revenues and charges. But like I mentioned before, we are continuing to allow CPUC LSEs to transact using a standard local RA confirm with an EEI master. important thing to note here is that this RA confirm option is currently only available to CPUC LSEs. There are a number of agreements that need to be executed prior to transacting via a confirmation letter. So both the PG&E CPE Master Cover Sheet and PG&E CPE Collateral Annex are separate and distinct from any existing Master Cover Sheet and Collateral Annexes that participants may already have with PG&E's Electric Procurement and Electric Fuels function. Both the PG&E CPE Master EEI Cover Sheet and the PG&E CPE Collateral Annex must be in place before PG&E CPE can execute a PG&E CPE confirmation letter. LSEs who are interested in transacting through a PG&E confirmation letter are encouraged to contact CPE solicitations at pge.com in advance of the competitive offer deadline to prevent any delay in executing a PG&E confirmation letter. I want to emphasize that executing the agreements does not commit either party to a transaction here, so CPC LSEs who may be interested in this option, you don't have to wait till offers are due to reach out. You can get things set up in advance. So the delivery period needs to be at least 1 month, and the period can begin no earlier than January 2026, and it can end no later than December 2028. The product is going to consist of local system and flexible RA attributes, and the contracted quantity will take the form of a schedule of monthly volumes over the delivery term. And compensation will be the contract price times contract volume. And thank you again, Emily, in the chat here. Just again, want to encourage anybody with questions to please send them by email to cpesolicitations@pge.com. Thank you. All right, so moving on to collateral requirements. For existing resources, we have it split by the delivery term of the contract. You can see in the table below here, if the term is less than or equal to 36 months, we are asking for 20% of the sum of the highest estimated monthly payments, excluding energy settlement, over a 12-month period. For delivery terms greater than 36 months and less than or equal to 60 months, we're asking for 10% of the sum of the highest estimated monthly payments over a 24-month period. And for terms greater than 60 months, we are asking for the greater of $40 a kilowatt or 10% of the highest estimated monthly payments over a 36-month period. For all new resources, we're asking for $80 a kilowatt in project development security. And for delivery term security, we require the greater of $40 a kilowatt or 10% the sum of the highest estimated monthly payments over a 36-month period. Again, do want to emphasize this information and details on credit and collateral requirements are available in the CPE RFO solicitation protocol. All right, so that will conclude the broader overview of the 2025 PG&E CPE RFO participants webinar. We'll begin the 10-minute intermission in just a second here, and when we come back, we'll go through some of the questions we've received and then review some more administrative items like the offer submittal process. As a reminder, once again, please submit any inquiries you have about the 2025 CPE RFO to cpesolicitations@pge.com. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you in 10.
Thank you all for standing by. The call will now resume.
Thank you, Sue. So questions and answers. We did get one question regarding the agreements here. So I'll start out the question and provide our answer. The question is, I don't see an RA plus energy settlement contract within the documents. Will you be adding that at a later point in addition to the RA-only contract? So thank you for that question. I do want to note appendices E2, E3, E4, and E5 may be used for both offers of bundled RA only and bundled RA with energy settlement. There are certain drafting notes that are applicable if you do want to go down that energy settlement route option. While we're on the topic of agreements, I do want to note, too, participants should be selecting the appropriate RA agreement based on whether they own the resource and whether or not the resource is existing or new build. So thank you for that question. Again, for any questions that you might have as well, please send them to cpesolicitations@pge.com. But with that, we will keep on moving here. So the next part of this webinar will be focused on our compensated Celestron commitment process, as well as a walkthrough of each of our competitive offer forms. We'll start off with the Celestron attestation here. Ordering paragraph 2 of the RAOIR, Order Institute Rulemaking Phase Decision, CPUC LSEs that elect to Celestron a local resource to the CPE must execute an attestation that provides that the LSE has capacity rights to the RA resource for the period it's self-showing, that the LSE intends to self-show the RA resource on annual and monthly RA plans to satisfy its system and or flexible RA needs, and the resource that the LSE intends to self-show for compensation under the Local Capacity Requirement Reduction Compensation Mechanism, or LCRCM, meets the eligibility requirements pursuant to Decision 20-12-006. An executed self-shown attestation is required for all compensated self-shown commitments submitted as part of the 2025 CPE Local RA-RFO, and self-shown attestations associated with the compensated self-shown commitments will be null and void if a corresponding compensated self-shown agreement is not executed between the participant and PG&E CPC. So now we'll go ahead and take a look at the commitment form for the compensated self-shown commitment process. By commitment form, I am referring to Appendix F, which is a required component of a compensated self-shown commitment. When you open up the commitment form, you'll find three tabs. Those are listed here on screen, instructions and acknowledgments, the attestation tab, and then the self-shown resource tab. All right, so first off, step one, fill out the requested fields in the instructions and attestation tab. You'll see here that there's some basic information you want to provide, just around contact information, LSE information, things like that. And then one important note as well is that you want to make sure you're entering in your offer ID that was generated when you put together the corresponding offer form for your compensated self-shown commitment. This piece I'll get into in just a little bit. Next up, step two, you want to fill out the self-shown resource tab. So on the self-shown resource tab, you'll enter the project-specific information, such as resource ID, local area, things like that, and then you'll also provide the monthly capacity volumes. One thing to note is that commitment forms are resource-specific, so you will need one commitment form for each compensated self-shown commitment that you are submitting in this RFO. Step three, so the submittal process. Now that you have a completed commitment form, you'll want to submit the Excel file via Power Advocate. You'll also need to provide a signed PDF version, which we refer to as the compensated self-shown attestation. This can be signed electronically or physically, but either way, signature is going to be required. And of course, prior to submitting, please make sure that the information contained in the commitment form and attestation is complete and accurate. All right, so we'll wrap up kind of the main portion of the webinar by reviewing the offer submittal process. Here's a look at the list of documents that are due by the competitive offer submittal deadline. The actual documents required as part of your specific offer will vary based on the type of offer you're submitting. We again encourage you to please review the 2025 RFO solicitation protocol prior to offer submittal deadlines, just to ensure you've submitted a complete offer package. And here's the rest of the documents list. One note is that appendices B2, C, and D only need to be submitted once. So for any participants submitting multiple offers, there's no need to provide multiple copies of those documents. To access and download all these bid documents that I've listed over these past couple of slides, appendices A through F, please register for the applicable Power Advocate event and visit the Download Documents tab. We have detailed instructions on accessing and navigating Power Advocate available on our website. So some details on Power Advocate. Power Advocate is a third-party online platform used by PG&E CPE to host RFO materials and receive offer submittal packages. There are two Power Advocate events for this RFO, one for PG&E participants and one for non-PG&E participants. So when you're registering, please make sure you're signing up and requesting access and uploading documents to the correct event based on your own participant type. Like I just mentioned, we have instructions on Power Advocate available on our website, and also guidance is available in our solicitation protocol as well. All right, so here's a list of helpful kind of guidance and just reminders here. The data that you input in Appendix A, the offer form, or Appendix F, the commitment form, may result in terms with contractual implications. Competitive offers should not be made contingent upon the execution of any agreement related to any other competitive offer. The commitment package or offer package must be complete at the time of submission. So this is why it's important to, again, review the solicitation protocol to make sure that the submittal that you're providing is complete. No variations are allowed for participants submitting competitive offers for compensated self-term commitments, and participants submitting competitive offers for bundled RA or bundled RA with energy settlement may submit up to 5 mutually exclusive competitive offer variations. Again, this feature I'll get into when reviewing the offer forms in detail. And lastly, participants are only allowed to submit 1 version of proposed markups for each applicable agreement. All right, so this again, just directing folks to our website here. Again, when this webinar deck is published to our website, the link will be clickable, which will take you right to our 2025 website, along with these helpful documents that you see listed here, things like our RFO solicitation protocol, our RFO protocol at a glance, a recap of our RFO schedule, as well as the Power Advocate event links and user guides. All the other RFO materials, like I mentioned, appendices A through F, are going to be available only through the Power Advocate event. Again, all solicitation communications should be directed to cpesolicitations@pge.com, and please CC, again, the independent evaluator at Merrimack, i.e., at merrimackenergy.com. So that will wrap up the main portion of our 2025 PG&E CPE Local RA RFO Participants Webinar. For those who would like to stick around, I'll be providing a walkthrough of our 3 offer forms in just a second here, but thank you all for tuning in, and we hope to see you in this year's solicitation. All right. So we'll start off our offer form review with Appendix A1. Again, that's the offer form for compensated self-shown commitment. As a reminder, Appendix A1 is for compensated self-shown commitments, which again is limited to CPUC LSEs only. Here's just a refresh of that graphic I showed earlier, just tying into where everything falls in our overall procurement process here. this offer form, as well as all the others, are available to download through Power Advocate. You'll find it in the Download Documents tab of the event. We've highlighted the file name in red there. All right, so once you're in Power Advocate, you find the offer form you want to download. All you have to do is click the offer form file name. The form will then download to your computer as an Excel workbook. An important note for this workbook, as well as the next couple that I'll cover, is that there are many features that are macro-driven. So it's really important that you enable the macros or the form won't function properly. We have some screenshots on screen here of what those prompts look like. Again, just really in summary, make sure you're clicking enable content or enable macros once you open those offer forms. So after enabling macros and opening up the Excel workbook, you'll get this set up initial offer screen. We'll go through the main steps here, kind of 1 through 3. So directing your attention to red box number 1, you'll start by choosing from a pick list to indicate your resources technology type. Second, you'll indicate whether the resource is new or existing. And then, after you've populated all fields in steps 1 and 2, you want to go ahead and click on Create Offer. Once you click the Create Offer button, the Form Instructions tab will be displayed here. I really want to emphasize, make sure you review the instructions prior to proceeding any further in the workbook. There are helpful tips there, in case you run into any issues, things like that. And then after you've done that, you'll want to navigate to the Offer Info tab, which we've highlighted in red to the bottom of the screen. So participants should populate all of the orange highlighted cells. Once you do adequately fill out those cells, they will then switch to green, which is an indication for you that you're okay to move on to the next field then. The cells up top there in gray, those are going to be locked, and they are automatically populated based on your answers to that setup initial offer screen that I just reviewed. So if there's any details you want to be changing with any of those green cells, you do have to start a new offer form and start from scratch with a new setup initial offer screen. So moving farther down the offer info tab, you'll provide things like contact info, entity names, things like that. Then you'll want to enter in specifics around the initial shown date you're offering, along with the duration or the shown term. These are going to be pick list options, so there's a list of items to choose from. Just click on one. And then following that, you'll want to enter in the contract price for each calendar year of the shown term that you're offering. Again, as a reminder, per CPUC decision 20-12-006, competitive offers for compensated self-shown local RAAs will have their compensation capped at a predetermined local price. Those, again, really aren't available just yet, but once the CPUC does publish them, we'll be sure to notify participants and get them posted on our website as well. So after you've gone through, fully populated the offer info tab, you want to navigate to the file name tab. From there, we have this click generate file name button. You're going to want to click on that. It will then generate a file name for you. After it's done that, all you want to do is click on save this file, and then your computer should walk you through saving the offer form under that newly generated file name. It's really important you don't modify the file name in any way after it's been generated, and you just save it as is. All right, so on to Appendix A2, the offer form for Bundled RA and Bundled RA with Energy Settlement. So this is available to all market participants, and you can see here, Appendix A2 is used for both Bundled RA and Bundled RA. Like the previous form, this one is also available in the Download Documents tab. Once you've found the offer form that you want, you just want to click the file name. And then again, make sure that you are enabling macros prior to beginning to populate the workbook. So this one also has a setup initial offer screen. It's going to look a little different from Appendix A1, though. We just ask for a little bit more information. Again, you're going to start off by populating your resources technology type, and then you're going to indicate whether or not you're the owner of the project, what kind of participating entity you are, whether you're a CPUC jurisdictional LSE, you're a non-CPUC jurisdictional LSE, or you're another market participant, such as an IPP or a developer. Also indicate whether the project is new or existing, and then also whether or not the resource is a dispatchable resource. Once you've populated every single one of these cells, again, you want to click Create Offer. Once you're done with that, again, review the instructions tab. Make sure you understand the various instructions and guidance that's on that page there. All right, and then that will then bring you to your offer info tab. Again, gray cells are going to be locked, pre-populated based on your previous answers, and then you're going to want to just go through, answer the orange highlighted cells until they're flipped to green. One thing I do want to note is that some users have reported this sort of cell resizing issue after populating certain cells that then cause the workbook to show other subsequent cells. I have an example of what that looks like here on screen. If this is something you run into, all you have to do if your keyboard has it is page down, page up, and then it should kind of reset the zoom there, or simply zoom in and back out, and then that should kind of fix the way that the form is being displayed here, so you don't have this weird cell select overlap like the screenshot on screen. All right, so then again, just finishing out filling out the offer info worksheet completely. You can see here that based on your answers to the setup initial offer screen, the workbook will dictate whether or not your offer is the percent or fixed structure. Under the contract structure, this is going to be focused on the percent contract structure. You want to indicate your NQC data source and then also enter in the NQC and EFC values for each month, January through December of the year. And then finally, at the very bottom there, you'll want to enter the contracted quantity as a percentage of the RA attributes that you listed up above. All right, and then now scrolling further down the offer info tab, you'll want to then focus on variant specific items. So things like indicating whether or not you want to offer energy settlement. If not, there is just an NA pick list option. And then also populating things like initial delivery date and your delivery term. Once you've populated some of those items, you'll get these various pop-up windows down below that will prompt you to either finish filling out the rest of the IDD and delivery term, or it'll prompt to bring you to the specific variant screen, which I'll show in just a sec. And then important reminder, again, existing resources, the IDD must fall between January 2026 through December 2028. And for new build resources, the IDD has to fall between January 2026 and December of 2030. All right, so we're just gonna keep moving down the workbook here. You'll want to enter in the operational characteristics of your resource. There are helpful comments and kind of guidance in what will be column S, where that red arrow is pointing to, just kind of indicate and give you a little bit more detail of the information that we're asking for in this offer form. And then, like I had mentioned earlier in this presentation, participants may offer up to 5 mutually exclusive offer variants for each resource. We do have an add variant button at the top of the form, which will then just copy over all of the kind of generic information related to the resource, and then leave things like the energy settlement, IDD, and delivery term blank for you then to provide a different variant. All So now pivoting to the fixed contract structure, again, like with the percent, you'll start off by entering in your NQC value or the data source of your NQC values, and then also entering your NQC and EFT values. And then once again, populating variant-specific items such as energy settlement, IDD, and delivery term. Again, just a reminder on existing and new resource IDDs there up on screen in red. And similarly to the percentage contract structure, again, those who are offering the fixed contract structure have the ability to offer up to 5 variants per resource. Okay, so on to the variant-specific part of the worksheet here. Each variant will have its own individual worksheet, variant underscore X, where the participant can view or enter the pricing quantity of the attributes being offered. So depending on the participant's answer to delivery term in months, one of 2 variant options will appear. For offers with delivery terms of 60 months or fewer, participants will have the option to provide monthly pricing, and this will show up as variant underscore X parentheses monthly. For offers with delivery terms greater than 60 months, participants will be offering yearly pricing, which will just show up as variant underscore X. All right, so for the purposes, again, let's focus on the percentage contract structure. The participant should enter their offer's contract price for each calendar year or month of delivery term. And then also really want to make sure that participants are reviewing the payment quantity and contracted quantity of the RA attributes and contracted quantity of the flex RA attributes, as these values are auto-calculated using the contract quantity percent that the user had entered previously on the offer info worksheet. And then you can kind of see the two differences on the left, the picture down below. That's going to be what it's going to look like if you were to offer a delivery term less than 60 months and you get the monthly pricing variant. You can see that it's going to prompt you for a contract price for each month of the proposed delivery term. And then for annual pricing variants, you can see it's just one price for each year, calendar year of the delivery term. For fixed, mainly sort of the same structure. Again, you're going to want to enter in your contract price for each calendar year or month of the term. And then one difference here is that participants should be entering the payment quantity and contracted quantity of the RA and flexible RA attributes. These values under the fixed contract structure are going to require manual entry here. So again, whenever you're in doubt, if you see an orange cell, that's going to require some entry from the user side. Again, monthly pricing variance down there on the bottom left, contract price for each corresponding month of the term, and then for annual pricing variance, we're just asking for one price for the entire spread of each year. On to energy settlement. So let's say, for instance, when you get down to the resource adequacy agreement portion of the offer form, you opt for energy settlement. The workbook will automatically generate an energy settlement variant. So if you do opt, and this is related to energy storage energy settlement, which we refer to as option one, if you do opt for the energy settlement option, you're going to want to populate that energy settlement variant underscore X tab. This is going to be things like the variable O&M, duration, and round-trip efficiency of your resource. And then you're going to also want to enter an energy settlement payment quantity for each contract month of the delivery term. And then let's say you're offering a gas-fired resource, and then you go for the energy settlement option. Again, you're going to want to enter in things like your variable O&M, and then also like contract heat rate, things like that. Once again, just a different energy settlement option based on the resource type being offered. There's various information and guidance in our offer form guides. And again, orange cells just mean you have to be putting the value in. The last option here for energy settlement. All right. The process for saving, naming, and submitting an offer form are going to be substantially similar to the previous Appendix A1. Again, once you've completely filled out offer info and all the various variant-specific tabs, you're going to want to go to the File Name tab. Click the Generate File Name button. That'll spit out an automatically generated file name, and then save the file with that new name, making sure not to make any modifications to that file name. All right, so lastly here, we have Appendix A3, and again, it's going to be the offer form for bundled RA for CPC LSEs only. And again, just reinforced by that graphic there. Same process for downloading the forms as the prior two. You're going to want to go to the Power Advocate event and then just click on the file name. Make sure you're enabling the macros, reading over the instructions, and then navigating to the offer info tab. As with the other forms, you're going to want to provide your contact information as well as specific participating entity information. And then in this case, when you populate required cells that are indicated by orange, they will change to a white background. So this offer info tab, it allows users to enter multiple projects using a single offer form. And then as with the other offer forms, we do offer, we do allow participants to offer up to 5 different variants, A through E, per resource or project. Participants should always be starting with variant A, and then from there, just work your way from left to right, answering various information related to your technology type and indicating whether or not your resource is behind the meter or if it's from the meter. From there, just more details related to your project. You can see here on the screen, latitude, longitude, resource ID, and name of the owner of the resource, things like that. Then just populating the RA attributes based on the NQC and EFC list for the resource. And then specifying your delivery term, specifying a start date and then an end date, and then populating the specific contracted quantities for each month throughout the delivery term. In the event you enter in a value that's above either the NQC or EFC value that you listed previously, the workbook will flag it in red. So that's kind of your indication then to go back and then make sure that the values you're entering in are correct. Then you're also going to want to enter in price for each month of the delivery term, as well as indicate the local area or sublab if it's a behind-the-meter resource. More information related to the project here. You'll indicate whether the census tract of the resource has a Cal and Viroscreen score. If it does, you'll enter that score. The census tract of the resource has a Cal and Viroscreen score. You'll enter it into the offer form. And if it doesn't, you'll provide the pollution burden instead. Again, just really want to emphasize, make sure you're reading kind of the guiding prompts up there in the green and gray boxes. That'll give you a good indication of the information that you're supposed to be providing in each of these cells. Once you're done with that, go to File Name, generate the file name using the Generate File Name button, and then save the file using that file name. All right, and with that, that will conclude our 2025 participants webinar. Thank you again, everybody, for tuning in here, and we hope to see you in this year's solicitation.
Thank you. And that does conclude today's conference. Thank you all for participating. You may disconnect at this time.